It might sound odd for a food show to be saying this, but deliciousness can be a real problem.
You should think of them as a wonderful hybrid between an artichoke and an egg, or an avocado and an egg.
Now imagine tasting that, or something that could be described that way. That's Ali Bouzari talking about uni, sea urchins, which, if you've never tried them, are incredible and weird in a great way. But when something tastes new to you and is delicious, you want it, and your friends want it, and more people want it, and seemingly only it, until we get to the point where the good earth has no more of whatever it is to give. And in a lot of places, sea urchins are super overfished. But I'm not here to bum you out today, because Ali's got a different take on the story. Now, before we get to him, Ali is one of the most interesting dudes in the world. He is a biochemist and an author and a trained chef, and who happens to spearfish and freedive in his spare time. So hey, Ali, it's great to talk with you today.
Thanks, Francis. It's good to talk to you.
I want to talk to you about sea urchins.
Let's do it.
You know, they are like the most terrifying looking animals on Earth. They look like headless ghosts of porcupines, but are alive and live in the sea. And they like kind of move around, their spines move. And then you eat them and it's like, oh my God, that is the most amazing flavor. Like Ruth Reichel, actually, I read recently, she calls them her single favorite flavor in the world. And I first actually want to ask you, because you're a scientist, what makes a sea urchin delicious? Like, they taste like butter that you harvested from the sea, and I want to know, scientifically, how is that possible?
Yeah, totally. I mean, sea urchins are certified heavy metal. They're covered in this, like, armor of calcium carbonate, and they've got these spines that help them move around, and they breathe out of their feet, and they're just weird. They are so delicious, though. As heavy metal as they look, they are actually so delicious because of how vulnerable and open to the elements they are. So Think about any time you've gone in the ocean for an extended period of time. Your skin starts to get all pruny. You kind of feel dehydrated. I personally always crave shrimp. A lot of changes happen to you because you're basically sitting in the world's biggest bathtub full of brine. So now imagine living your entire life immersed in that super salty, briny environment without the luxury of skin to keep all of your insides functioning and where they should be. So sea urchins don't have skin. All of that salt
like
that
unlike
they're sitting
fish
in.
And,
unlike fish or even an octopus. So all that salt that they're sitting in has free rein to pull all of the moisture out and just turn them into marine raisins. So to combat that effect, sea urchins get into an arms race with the salt in the water. They stockpile stuff that water likes to attach to. They stockpile sugars, amino acids, and salts, which is incredible for us because those are maybe the three most delicious types of molecules in the edible world. They're sweet, salty, and umami. And they brine themselves for us. And so when you hear people talking about, and this is true for oysters too, when you hear people getting thoughtful and poetic about their favorite oysters from wherever it is in the world, they'll often talk about the briny, brackish water that those oysters come from. And that isn't just prose. It is the reason that those animals are delicious.
Oh, that's incredible. So like you said, okay, so you dive for urchins. And actually the reason why you're in today is because you just wrote this really fascinating story about diving for purple urchins off the coast of California. And in that story for Saveur magazine, you're talking about how it's good to eat them. So I live in the East Coast, and there are Maine urchins, and I hear those are over-harvested, and that's a problem. And sea urchins, uni, sometimes called uni, have become more and more popular with chefs. And so, like, you know, they're getting into all these, like, chefy dishes, and they become this old cliche where chefs are putting uni on everything, and we're over-harvesting all of them. But part of your story is about how they are overrunning the ecosystem of like the coast of Northern California. So what's going on there?
Yeah, so the West Coast is a very different urchin story than the East Coast. Here, there are thousands of times more urchins than there have been or should be historically. And it's a combo of factors. Obviously, several of them are our fault as humans. some of them are just freak accidents, but it's a combo of climate change, warming the waters, and causing problems with how the kelp get nutrients. There was a freak outbreak that killed a bunch of sea urchins' natural predators, which are sea stars, starfish. Uh-huh. But I have to say sea stars, or biologist friends will yell at me. we're also still reaping what we sowed at the end of the 1800s by almost eradicating sea otters in this part of the coast, because they also naturally prey on sea urchins. And so what's happening is this explosion of urchins has taken them from filling this very docile niche of just hanging out and vacuuming up the bits and scraps that need to be taken care of on the ocean floor to becoming these zombie hordes that are literally mowing down 95%+ of the kelp in Sonoma and Mendocino County, which is a huge, it's an incredible bummer. And there has been an immediate ramification already where the local recreational abalone fishery, which is where most non-commercially fished abalone come from, is closed, maybe forever, because the abalone also feed on kelp and they just can't compete with the sea urchins. And after that, everything that depends on the kelp as the anchor to the food chain will be swiftly kicked out.
Yeah, and the kelp are like basically like the forest of the seas, right? So it's about, you're basically deforesting the entire underwater ecosystem there.
Yeah, and it's deforestation that happens crazy quick. Like I moved to Sonoma County a few years ago, right before my friend and colleague Kyle was opening his restaurant, Single Thread. And his CDC, Aaron, who I co-wrote the piece with, taught me how to spearfish, which was just the coolest hobby for a chef to have that you could possibly imagine. And when we started literally 4 years ago, it was like diving down through this canopy. It was like a submerged tropical jungle. And there was fish flitting in and out of the shadows of the kelp. And it was this amazing thing. And now this spring, when we've started to go for the season, it is almost like diving down to the surface of the moon, and you can see it in the photos.
Oh my God!
It's a bunch of craggy, rocky outcroppings that are just dotted with bright flashes of like '80s Prince purple.
That's crazy. But okay, so normally when you have like invasive species, you know, it's like, oh, well, we should just eat them, but it's hard because you have to convince people to eat things like lionfish that they didn't have before, or Asian carp, or whatever. But like, sea urchins are incredibly delicious. They're expensive. Chefs want to use them. Why isn't there a huge commercial fishery for these purple urchins? Like, why aren't we just like grabbing them all and eating them?
Right. Well, first of all, so they're not invasive, actually. They're from here.
Okay.
They're just out of control.
Okay, sure.
But one of the issues with purple urchins versus the green urchins that you guys maybe get on the East Coast, or the bigger red urchins that people also harvest out here, is that they are a smaller cousin. They're a smaller species. So their roe, which are the reproductive organs that people call uni, it's also smaller. But that doesn't mean that they're not commercially viable, and it definitely doesn't mean that they're not delicious. So in the 90s, there were actually a couple years where there was a huge documented push to enhance this purple sea urchin fishery on the West Coast. And I think we exported 300,000 or so pounds of purple sea urchin to Japan, where they were actually highly prized because they were smaller and more delicate, and you could incorporate them in dishes, I think, in a way that was more subtle rather than just plopping this big, giant, fatty tongue on a piece of rice.
Mm-hmm. Like your uni sushi or whatever.
That is still, at this point, what the mainstream foodie consumer thinks of when they think of uni. Is they think of sushi, they think of Japanese food, they think of what they typically see on social media as these big, fat, robust uni tongues. And the reality is their applications in the kitchen go way beyond that.
Yeah. So we talked to you as a scientist before and then as a diver, and so now we talk to you as a chef. What can you do with them aside from just plopping them on some nice sushi rice?
Chemically and culinarily, you should think of them as a wonderful hybrid between an artichoke and an egg, or an avocado and an egg, maybe is a better comparison. You ask somebody 10 years ago, what do you do with avocados? 9 out of 10 times they're going to say guacamole, and now they're in everything, almost to a point of of self-parody. Same thing with uni. Like, they are full of fat and protein, so you can use them as a source of browning. So you can incorporate them into a barbecue marinade or a yakitori marinade. You can use their fattiness to enrich doughs. They make some of the best brioche that I've ever tasted. I sweated down urchins with andouille sausage and used their fat to make probably the best dirty rice I've ever made.
crazy, and so, dog.
Yeah, I don't know.
This is like, this also does sound like millionaire food, right?
I took my uni. It sounds like millionaire food, but it doesn't need to be. If you live on the West Coast for like a $44 a year fishing license, you can even pick these things off the shore. You can gather 35 per person per day right now. And
we should be, is what you're saying, because we need that kelp.
And we should
be.
But I mean, we have this pretty horrendous track record of just decimating anything we get excited about. So this is the universe offering up a small chance at redemption, where we can put our fervor to good use.
Ali, this is awesome. You are awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Come out to Sonoma County and I'll feed you some urchin.
Ali Buzari is the author of Ingredient, Unveiling the Essential Elements of Food. And you can read his article on purple urchins in Saveur.